Psalm 1, if you turn there, I thought about something when Brother Tyler was preaching. We started last week in Psalm 1, and I just want to share a thought that God's laid on my heart. I've been thinking about success. The Bible has some things to say about success. And I think sometimes when we hear the word success, our minds immediately go to money or material things. And we know that, well, that is a form of success, but it's not the only form of success. I thought about this. I thought about how that there is a form of success that dies with a man. But then there also is a form of success that outlives the man. And that's the success that I want to be a part of. I want to be the part of success that outlives the man, not the success that dies with the man. It's kind of like, I think most of us here have children, and some of you have raised your children. And there's not a person in here, whether you have reared your children to age now and they've moved on, or whether your children are in the home, there's not a father or a mother in this house tonight that would say, you know, I'm not concerned about my children being successful. Sure you are. As well you should be. My concern with my children as they were growing up was not that they would be successful. My main concern was that they would be successful in the things that didn't matter. You know, if we're not careful, we'll teach our children success in the things that really doesn't matter. And I don't want my children to be successful in things that do not matter. We heard tonight, what matters? Amen. What matters? The souls of men serving Jesus. See, this is where success, when God looks at our heart, this is where success lies. It's storing up treasure. It's spiritual success. It's success in the spiritual realm. In Psalm 1, David spoke a little bit about that, or the psalmist did. He said, blessed is the man. Now, here's a happy man. Here's a man that God's hand is on. And I think we all want to be blessed. We all want to be happy. And that's where that word comes from. Now, it's not coming from the word happenings. It's coming from the word that God gives, because God shines. There is a happiness that comes from happenings, but this is not that word. It's a word that is attached to the direct smile of favor of God on a man. A man is blessed. Blessed is the man. And then it says that does not some things. And I'm just going to break it down for you. That stays away from the wrong people.
Right.
All right? And we'll go into this in detail in our future studies. And so he said, you know, just stay away from ungodly people. Now, most people would look at that and say, well, I'm not around ungodly people. How many of you know what the word unafraid means? Raise your hand. So I know what the word unafraid means. It means not afraid. Ungodly doesn't necessarily mean that they're smoking dope, popping pills. Now, listen to me. Using profanity. Ungodly means they just don't have time for God. You stay away from people that do not have time for God.
Amen.
They don't have to be doing drugs. They don't have to be involved in vile activity. If people don't have time for God in their life, stay away from them. Nothing good's going to come out of that. Stay away from those people. Stay away from the wrong kind of people. People that do not have time for God in their life are only going to bring you down. And so he starts out with that. And then he goes on, you know, the counsel of the ungodly. Don't take advice. Be careful who you take your advice from. And he goes right on down. And then he says this in verse number 2. And this is the thought that God laid on my heart. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now this is the blessed man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He takes great pleasure. We heard it tonight. Brother Tyler, sometimes we think about what we have to do, you know, what we feel that we're, in order to carry out the duty of Christianity, we have to do these things. Not the blessed man. See, the man that realizes who he is and where he stands, that blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And look at this, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Goes on to say that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so we want to make sure that that we understand prosperity and we understand success as God understands it and as God wants us to enjoy it. Because we don't want to get tied up in the things that do not matter. Amen. And it's easy to happen. It can happen. It's easy to fall into that trap, to get caught up in the things that really at the end, when all is said and done, it's really not going to matter. And so let's go back to this one word, meditate. What do you know about meditation? Well, I've heard a lot of different definitions. Meditation, someone said, is to the soul what digestion is to the body. I like that definition of meditation. You know, when you eat food, your body goes through a process of breaking it down and distributing what is needed to vital organs and different parts of the body so that your body can be enhanced and it can be strong. And that, you know, so someone has said that meditation to the soul is what digestion is to the body. You take it in and you meditate on it. You kind of break it down and you allow it to have an effectual work in your heart. Then someone else said this, and I think this is the one that I really like. I began to look at what the word meditate means and where it came from. And very interesting. The word meditation comes from the word of spoken again. Have you ever been reading and you think you're reading to yourself, but you're going kind of like this? You don't realize that you're irritating everybody in the room, but you don't realize it, but you're doing that because you don't realize you're doing it. You know, so you're speaking it again. And that's what meditation is. Now, meditation comes from the same derivative of word that is derived from, and don't miss this, humming. So I want to ask you something about your meditation. How many of you, no matter what kind of song it is, okay, you go in Walmart or you go in a place of business, or maybe you're driving down the road and you're listening to a CD or you're listening to music, and a song plays, and I mean, it just gets stuck in your mind, all right? A song, No More Night, has been a song that's been stuck in my mind for about a month, you know? And Sharon and I can go around, and I'm humming that, and before long, she'll be humming it. You know, you hear it, and it just stays with you. That's where the word meditate comes from. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, you hear a song, and then long after that song's over, I mean, you're singing that song, okay? But long after that song's completed playing, you find yourself humming that song, okay? You're just humming that song. Throughout the day, you're just humming that song. It's just a song that sticks with you. That's meditation. Here's the problem with us and God's Word. We read it, we're done. It's done. It doesn't stick with us. Because we're not meditating, we're not allowing it to be broken down, we're moving on to other things. And what we need to do is just Selah. We need to pause, we need to rest, we need to just slow down and allow it to begin to permeate and really think about it. So I want to encourage you, meditate in the Word of God. We're a busy people, aren't we? I mean, we really are. And I'm not opposed to busy doing the right things. Jesus said he was busy about his Father's business. There's certainly nothing wrong with busying ourselves with the right things. But let's not be too busy to where we cannot meditate on the Word of God. Because meditation and prosperity, God's prosperity, go together. Meditation and God's success go together. And so can I encourage you to meditate on the Word of God? Just kind of muse on it. Just think on it. Break it down. You ever been reading a book or the scripture and you come across a very familiar portion of scripture, and if you're not careful, just kind of zoom over it? Didn't I? That's the contempt of familiarity. Just break it down. Just break down a scripture. Meditate on it. Let it stick with you throughout the day. Think about it. Give you something to think about, then I'm going to ask Brother Randy to come. Only begotten. Just go home and meditate on it. Only begotten. What does it mean? Why is it there? What does it mean to us? What makes it different? What's the difference between begotten and born? Some scripture as simple as John 3:16. Meditate on it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You ever meditated on John 3:16? Or do we just read it, memorize it, preach it, teach it, share it? That God so loved the world that he gave. The Creator God is also he's a giver, right? Think about that. God made it all and then he gives. He gives from what he's made. You know, isn't that something? God made it all and he's a giver. He's a giving God. His only begotten son. That's what God gave. Of all the things that God gives, God said, John, I want you to write this down. Jesus, when he was speaking, he said, I want you to write this down. God gave his only begotten son. Of all the things that God has given, I want you to write that down in this verse. Why? Because there's a reason that you and I need to meditate on that. Jesus is different. Jesus is different. He has many sons. Right? Are the angels called the sons of God? Are they, brethren? Sure. We're called the sons of God. We who are saved. But Jesus is the only begotten. Meditate on that. There is a difference. There's a difference between born and begotten. We don't meditate on it. We just read through it and get what we can and move on. Need to hum on it a while. It's important. Thank you, Brother Tyler. Good stuff. Brother Randy, come and share with us. And then Brother David, you come on to the platform. Brother David Thompson, after Brother Randy's through, we're going to have